preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross.
Good morning, listener. You are welcome again this morning to this program, The Power of Endless Life. I'm your regular host, John Adejoro Olua. I ask that the Lord will bless us together as we come under the power of His Word. Please turn with me this morning as I read from Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, and I read verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yet with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. We've been sharing with you about the issue of the salvation of the soul. Last week we brought the word of God to you, emphasizing what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, talking about us cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the spirit and of the soul, and by this we'll be walking in the perfection of the Lord, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And today we're also trying to show to you that the same thing is being said here in Isaiah 26. We've been also reading this scripture to you. I want to read that scripture again. Please bear with me, because I have to keep reading this scripture over and over again, because I believe it's very, very important. Is a cornerstone of what we have been sharing with you. That's for 1 Thessalonians. Please turn with me again, because I like to keep it before us fresh every day. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here again we see it, that it's the will of God. For those of you who have been following us, this is what we've been sharing. For those of you who are just tuning in today and you are hearing us, I've just been sharing on the fact that our spirit, our soul, and our body, as we have seen here, this is the prayer, this is the desire of the Lord, this is important, that is the will of God, that yes, that be preserved, they be preserved and be made blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we've been sharing, and that's why we are showing how to enter into it. How will our spirit, our soul, and the body also, how will they enter into all that God has for them? How will this salvation be experienced? How will we realize this prayer that Paul prayed here? This is what we've been sharing for many weeks now, and we want to continue today. So let me go back to where we have read in Isaiah 26. And it says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So I want to show to us again from this scripture that it's when both our spirits and our souls are seeking the Lord that we'll be able to come into the knowledge of His will. You see, it's not just our spirit to seek the Lord, but also our soul to seek the Lord. It's not just the spirit of man to seek the Lord, but also his soul must also seek the Lord. And that's why we've been sharing with you that the two are important. The two are important. When we have received salvation, born again experience, we must not stop there. We must go on and receive the salvation of our of the soul. This is very clear. Taking the engrafted word of God that is able to save your soul. We are repeating and repeating and repeating it. And I will not be tired of repeating, because this is the word of God. Because I know this is the problem today in Christianity. Many are born again. but they do not know how to move on. They do not continue. They do not continue. And that's why many have remained foolish virgins. They don't know how to continue. They don't know. Many are crying. Many are yearning. Many are wandering from one congregation to another. They want to follow God. They yearn to follow God. They want to overcome their flesh, but they don't know. And we believe that the word of God is coming to us to show us the way to overcome, because God is looking for those who will overcome. Yes, the kingdom of God is for those who will overcome. You have to overcome your flesh. You have to overcome the world. You have to overcome the devil. The kingdom of God is not for those who are overcome by these things, but those who will overcome these things. Jesus will say, He that overcometh. So the kingdom of God is for those who overcome. And that's why we believe, as we bring the word of God, you will strive to overcome. You will strive to follow God so that you can overcome. Do not be deceived to think that you can just continue in your ways and believe in the flesh. The Bible says those who continue in the flesh, there's condemnation upon them. The Bible says those who continue in flesh, they shall bear the fruits of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5. And it says, if we continue in these things, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So that's why we are bringing the word of God to you. We are bringing the word of God to you. Please, many times we have turned these scriptures to unbelievers, and we say it's talking to unbelievers. Yes, but in particular, it's speaking to us. These letters written by the apostles were written to Christians. They were written for them to learn the way of God, for them to learn the way of God. And I want to remind you again that Galatians chapter 5 is not for unbelievers. It's for believers. And that's why we are bringing this word of God to you. I want you to read. I just want to read again. It's not what I'm saying this morning, but I just want you to see. I'm bringing Galatians chapter 5 afresh before you this morning. Let me bring it afresh to you this morning. In chapter 5, verse 15, it says, but if ye be abide, that's talking to Christians, if Christians should abide and defile one another, they should take heed that they be not consumed one of another. That's chapter 5, verse 15 of Galatians. And then it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Showing that if we don't walk in the Spirit, we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will bear the fruits of the flesh. I say, for the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh. What is the work of the flesh? The works of the flesh are manifest. So if we don't walk in the Spirit, we would manifest the works of the flesh. If we don't bear the fruits of the Spirit, we will manifest the works of the flesh. And this is talking about Christians. And I've shared with you on this program that the flesh is talking about the carnality and the lust and the sensuality and the emptiness in the soul. We've been sharing with you that if the soul of man is not cleansed and purged, he will remain carnal. But what I'm going to emphasize today again is that it's when the soul is purged and cleansed that soul can truly follow the Lord. But I'm just bringing before you again to diffuse this confusion, and then to diffuse this false understanding of the word of God, because envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, such like, of all these things that we have seen here, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and all these things, they are the works of the flesh. And we see them today in the life of Christians. I'm not talking about unbelievers now. In the life of Christians, these things are there. Why? The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill what? The desire, the lust of the flesh. The only way for a Christian not to manifest these works of the flesh is for him to walk in the Spirit. Is to walk in the Spirit. If he doesn't walk in the Spirit, a Christian will manifest some of these things. And that's this is the conclusion. Why I'm bringing it to you is that I want to say, conclusion in that verse 21. It says, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things, Christians who do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Christians who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Christians who remain carnal, earthy, fleshy, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and then he goes on to show us the fruit of the Spirit. And he says to us, and there he said, against such there is no law. That's verse 23. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Is it a Christian who's walking in the Spirit doesn't need the law? He, because the law of the Spirit of life is working according to Romans chapter 8 verse 1. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Against such, there is no law. For a man of God, for a person walking in the Spirit, there is no law against that. That's the highest law. That's the highest spiritual law that a man must walk in. And if a man does not walk in this law, the law of the Spirit of life, following the Holy Spirit, he will manifest the works of the flesh. He will walk under the law. And that's why he says in verse 20, and he shows to us again, in that verse 24, which I have said, say verse 24, and they that are Christ, they that are following Christ, those that are becoming Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So for us to become, you see, he's showing us to crucify the flesh. What is the flesh? The carnality, the earthiness that is in us. We must crucify them. How do we crucify them? By being yoked to Christ, by walking after the Spirit. We are crucifying them. I've shown this to you in the Word of God over and over again. You will see this in Romans 8:13, that as we obey the Spirit, we are killing the deeds of the flesh. As we obey the Spirit, we are killing the deeds of the flesh. It's not just by fasting, except that fasting is dictated by the Holy Spirit. It's not punishing your body, except that punishment is dictated by the Holy Spirit. It is following the Holy Spirit that makes us to crucify the flesh and the affections thereof and the lust thereof. It is by walking with the Holy Spirit. You will see that again in Romans 8:13. I am emphasizing this over and over again for us to see the Word of God. Please, I will go back to where we started this morning. I'll go back to that Isaiah 26 and verse 9. And what I want to show to you from what we have read is this, that that my soul and my spirit, two of them must follow the Lord together. I want to read that verse again to you. Please, let's look at, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So you see now, this man is talking about his soul and his spirit following the Lord, desiring the Lord, following the Lord, the two together. Just not the spirit. We are emphasizing again that the spirit must be cleansed, must be saved. Also, the soul must be cleansed and be saved for two of them to work together. And we are saying that if your spirit is only the one that is cleansed and your soul is not cleansed or purged, you cannot follow the Lord. The two must agree together. The Bible says, can two work together except they have been agreed? It's only when there's agreement between the spirit and the soul that you can work. The Bible shows to us in that Galatians chapter 5, we have read that these are contrary one to another. If the soul is fleshy and earthy and carnal, it's contrary to the spirit and it cannot go along with the spirit. This is where the conflict is. You want to follow God, but your flesh doesn't want to follow God. And that's why God has made provision for the soul to be cleansed so that the soul also can become spiritual, so that the soul also can agree with the spirit, and therefore the soul becomes subservient to the spirit. The soul becomes like a servant to the spirit. So the spirit can now write upon the soul. The spirit now can control the soul. The spirit can make manifest the nature and the life of Christ in the soul. And we have been sharing with you, it is when our soul is captured this way, it's when our soul is cleansed and the spirit now can now dominate our soul, that will become spiritual. That we can truly follow God, that we can truly hear God. That's why if our spirit is seeking the Lord, our soul also is following in and seeking the Lord. But if the soul is not purged and cleansed, the soul will be going his own way. The soul will be desiring the flesh and the world, and will be desiring the iniquities and sin and filthiness around us, while the spirit is trying to point toward God and move towards God. But the soul will be moving towards the world. But when both of them, like I showed to you last week, both of them are cleansed from all filthiness, they will begin to enter into perfection, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But what I'm showing to you again is when the two of them are okay, are cleansed, are saved, or have been saved, that then the two of them can both seek the Lord. You hear many people, they say they can't hear God. God cannot speak to them. Or they stumble into hearing God today and for the next one year, they don't hear God again. Why? Because the two are not working together. Can the two work together except they be agreed? I will explain that the spirit man is like a station. And then the soul is like the screen. The message, the information is being beamed from the spirit to the screen. So the soul is like the screen, and then the spirit is like the station where the message is coming forth. And that's why we show to you. Please, let me show to you from the Word of God again, because scripture upon scripture. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to see what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 8, and I want to read verse 16. He said, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So where is our spirit? Our spirit is in the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. Two are together. And the Holy Spirit is giving witness. He's bearing light. He's bringing light. He's bringing life into our spirit. But then from our spirit, what we are receiving from God, what we are hearing from God, the information we are receiving, the witness we are receiving from the spirit into our spirit must be beamed into our soul, so that our soul also can receive this life and make it manifest. And this is when the character, the nature of Christ is made manifest to us, because our soul is our character. Okay, so the spirit of man is in the Holy Spirit, it's in the orbit of the Holy Spirit. The spirit is bearing witness, not with our soul primarily, but with our spirit. But our spirit wants to now come into the soul, so that the soul can be in subjection, can be in subjection, can serve the purpose of the spirit. So that's why we are saying it is when this is done that you can both seek the Lord together, like what we have read in Isaiah 26. You know, the man there is speaking about his soul desiring the Lord, and he also, his spirit also seeking the Lord. The two together, the two working together. This is the problem in Christianity today. In many lives, the spirit is yearning, but the soul is yearning for something else. And that's why we've been sharing with you the need to yoke your soul, the need to submit your soul, and all that we have been sharing with you, so that when your soul is cleansed and poor, he can become a yoke to your spirit and submit to your spirit. And therefore, you enter into peace. The war inside is ceased. It's eliminated to a point, so that you can now begin to follow God. This is what I want to share with you. And I will be sharing with you that in our soul we have four compartments, or four functions. I've been sharing that. I want to mention that again. The soul has these four functions: the mind, the will, the emotions, and desires. But I also want to show to you that the spirit, our spirit man, also has about three functions. Where the spirit is, the functions of the spirit is the conscience, the intuition, and the communion. It is in our spirit that we know. That's intuition. You know, without going through the process of learning, we know. I'm going to show to you that to you in the scripture. It's in our spirit that we have conscience. Conscience is what tells us what pleases God and what does not please God. We don't have to read. Somebody doesn't have to tell. Our conscience becomes tender and sensitive to pick what is the mind of the Lord, what pleases God. I'm going to show all this to you in the scripture. And then the communion, like the Bible says, we do not know how to pray, but the spirit helpeth our infirmities. So prayer must come from our spirit. That's what we're saying. Knowing the will of God must come from our spirit. Knowing what pleases God must come from our spirit. Those are the three functions of our spirit. And therefore, it is when the soul, I hope you are listening, listener, is when the soul, which is made up of our emotions, our desire, our mind, our will, are being cleansed and purged and covered with the nature of Christ, that the soul will begin to submit to the spirit. And then the spirit will begin to beam light, beam information, beam the witness of the Holy Spirit to the soul, and the soul can now receive. It says you can't match clay and iron together. So, but when the soul becomes spiritual, the two can work together. You can now hear God. That's what I'm trying to say. You can now hear God clearly. You can now walk in harmony with the Spirit of God. The fight, the conflict going on is taken away. That's why the Bible says our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of the strongholds. Where? In our mind. Because they're casting down every imagination and every thought that they exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. And where do we have our imagination, our thought realm? It's in the soul. And this is the soul realm. This realm of the soul is where Satan has built his castles through many years of indoctrination, many years of association and information that have been beamed into our mind from school, from churches, from upbringing, environment, culture, and tradition. All this is Satan have used to build strongholds, castles. Castles of unbelief, castles of doubt, castles of fear, hatred, anger, malice in the soul. And the Bible says our weapons are not carnal. That's the weapon we're showing to you. What is the way? Be yoked to Christ, so that all these castles in the soul will be destroyed, will be taken away. Christ wants to enter, become a wise virgin, because Christ wants to enter into the realm of your soul. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. It's talking about the gates in our soul. Because the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle. When he comes into the soul, he wants to destroy these castles. Hallelujah. I believe you are following. So, but the emphasis we are making today is our ability to follow God with our spirit and with our soul. That's what we're saying today. Then we will begin to hear. And I'm telling you the three functions of the spirit. I want to repeat this again. The three functions of the spirit is the intuition. And I want you to see that in Mark. Because I said I will give you the scripture so that you can see the scripture and you follow the scripture. I want you to see in Mark, in the life of the Lord himself. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. I want to read for you. Say, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? So Jesus in the spirit. This is the word of God. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus knew what the Pharisees were thinking in their spirit. Not because somebody told him or whispered these things to him. Jesus knew what they were by his spirit. Because the spirit of the Lord was functioning properly and the soul was functioning properly. He could pick what the Pharisees were reasoning in their hearts. I said, why are you reasoning? That's intuition. He knew by intuition. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were saying. That's the spirit man functioning. He knew what the Pharisees were saying. Why are you doing that? His spirit was able to take what they're saying. Okay? That's what we're talking about, intuition. I would like to show you the conscience. Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And I want to read first one. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So Paul is also showing here that Holy Ghost bears witness with our conscience. Holy Ghost beams light into our conscience because our conscience is in our spirit. Just like I've shown you in Romans 8:16, that the Holy Spirit is in our spirit, bearing witness with our spirit. Because the conscience is in the spirit, in our human spirit. So Paul is confirming here that I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He knows. He knows. Why? Because the Holy Ghost bears witness. The Holy Ghost is beaming light to his spirit man. And the spirit man, part of the spirit man, is his conscience. I believe you are following that. I believe you are able to see that. And because it's important that we see these things very, very, very clearly. You will see each time you see conscience. Conscience is in our spirit. It's in our spirit. And it's there. The Holy Ghost is beaming his light. And then you will also want to see, when I also mentioned that the realm of communion is also in our spirit, I also want to read a scripture for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. You will see here that the scripture is talking here that we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit is in our spirit, is helping us and beaming light of what to pray, how we should pray. That's why, listener, I hope you are listening to me. You don't take prayer from just your mind. You just don't gather prayer lists and just go to God. That's what many of us are doing. And most of the things we pray about is just bewitching and talking. We're just praying like the Pharisees. Repetitions and repetition. The Bible says fear in repetition. The Bible says because they think by much speaking, they will be heard. That's how many people are praying today. You see, Jesus, all the prayer that Jesus prayed, God the Father answered because Jesus didn't pray any prayer out of his mind. He was praying from his spirit. And that's why I want to share the word of God with you. Praying from the spirit. You will see that in many, the Bible says at the grave of Lazarus, the Bible says he groaned from his spirit. And Paul will say, my spirit prayeth. You will see that in 1 Corinthians. So we see now that a Christian must learn to take information from his spirit man, because that's where that information is. Must learn to know things of God by the intuition in the spirit. He must learn to pray because the communal level is in the spirit of man. He must know what pleases God because his conscience is in the spirit. And this is where the Holy Spirit is bearing what? He's bearing witness. This is what makes us different from all other creatures. Our spirit. That what makes us to be created in the image of God. The fact that we have a spirit. And a man follows God with his spirit. I'll be sharing more. I'm just laying foundation for us. But I'm also saying to you, if you are following me and what we've been looking at recently through the scriptures, I'll be saying to you that your spirit cannot truly function or cannot truly beam the information that your spirit is receiving to the soul if the soul is not cleansed. But I'm also showing the other side now that it's your spirit you follow God. Because I know also this is the problem in Christianity today. Many people don't know how to exercise their spirit to follow God. And it's in our spirit we can follow God. The Holy Spirit is only beaming light into our spirit. It's only beaming information into our spirit. It's only giving life to our spirit. And from our spirit, it must flow to our soul. That's what we're talking about. But you must learn how to follow the Holy Spirit with your spirit. And that we have shown you the example of the Lord. That the Lord said was able to know what the Pharisees were thinking in his spirit. In his spirit. So we're bringing the word of God to you. We are bringing the word of God to you. And I want to, we are coming to a close again today. But before we go, I also want to show you from the word of God. Because we, like we said, we would like to show you the word precept upon precept. I want you to go with me to Job 32. I want you to go with me to Job 32. And in verse 8, it says here, but there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So we see there's a spirit in man, and it's the inspiration of God Almighty comes upon the spirit of man, and it gives man what? Understanding. It gives man what? Understanding. It is in our spirit that God beams his light. God can only relate with us in our spirit. God is a spirit, and they that will worship him will worship him in spirit. It's only through our spirit we can follow him. It says here again, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And the man who spoke here was a man who eventually brought Job out of his darkness. Because he spoke from his spirit. We'll continue next week. I ask that the Lord will bless you. I ask that you will pray this morning and commit yourself to God upon what you have heard. Lord, you will ask that you will pray. You will say to the Lord, Lord, here am I. I want to follow you. I want to surrender my soul to you. I want to follow you with my spirit. I want to learn your way with my spirit. Now that I'm learning that I can only follow you with my soul, I want to follow you. Father, I thank you this morning for this opportunity to bring your word to your people again. I ask that your word will not return to your void. I ask that your word will bless your people, that they will be changed, they will be transformed, and they will never remain the same. Thank you for hearing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank you for joining us again today. Remember, the Lord is urging us to bear his yoke and to follow him whithersoever he goes, unto the salvation of our soul. This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our post office address is P.O. Box 12283, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. You can reach us through any of these GSM numbers, 0803-726-9960 and 0803-301-6838. This signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producer and our sound engineer. Stay tuned same time next week. God bless you.